word faithful has come to my mind several times this week, and I believe that faithful is what Vivian Gordon strived to be. And so that's what I would like for us to focus on for a few moments this morning, what it means to be faithful. In Luke 18, verse 8, we find these words, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And Jesus will be looking for faith, and God is looking for faith, and without it, it's impossible to please him. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we find the letters to the seven churches. Among those seven churches that received letters from Jesus, only two of them, Smyrna and Philadelphia, were so faithful that Jesus had only good to say about them. I want to highlight something that Jesus wrote to Smyrna. Smyrna, the Christians there had very difficult circumstances. They faced pressure from Rome because they wouldn't engage in Caesar worship. They had unbelieving Jews among them that slandered these Christians and turned people against them. It's apparent that they were poor because probably no one would give them work because they were Christians. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus told them, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. So in other words, it's not over. You're still going to go through some very trying times. But Jesus encouraged them in that verse in Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." I believe these words were given by Jesus through John in this vision to give that courage and the strength that these Christians needed to endure the persecutions, the suffering that they were going through and were about to go through. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." But Jesus would say to you and to me today, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus desires for his children to be faithful to him. What does that mean? To be faithful unto death. Number one, notice this, that the Lord demands our faithfulness. He demands our faithfulness. When we become Christians, yes, when we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away, we're added to the family of God. And it's a glorious beginning, but it is a beginning. And it is a commitment that we're making to Christ, that we're going to live faithfully to him for the rest of our lives until we die or until he comes again. And there are scores of scriptures which show that the Lord demands our faithfulness. Let me share a few of those with you. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6, verse 33. "Seek me first." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a demand to be faithful to him. Jesus would also tell his apostles, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." He's challenging them, "Be faithful to me to the end and you'll be saved." And the same demand is for us as well. The apostles would continue these admonitions to be faithful, such as in statements and scriptures in which we find we're told, "If we live a certain way, then we will receive blessing from God." Romans 8:13, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It's a call to faithfulness, to living according to the Spirit of God. In Colossians 1:23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel." If there's that condition, if you continue in the faith, you'll retain that hope. You'll be faithful to me. A beautiful passage in 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's helpful to know that the present tense is used in these verbs here. And so the idea is, if we continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his Son, continues to cleanse us from our sin. But this challenge to continue to walk in the light represents that challenge of remaining faithful even until death. Be faithful to the Lord. And this involves every moment of every day. And it means, it expresses a commitment that we're going to live true to him, that we're going to abide in him and continue in the faith for the rest of our lives. In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In view of what God has done for you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's 24/7. That's giving all of our lives to him with the promise and with the intention of being faithful to him, because that's what the Lord demands. But secondly, notice that faithfulness is what the Lord deserves from us. The Lord deserves our faithfulness. And why is that? We don't have time to list all the reasons why he deserves our faithfulness. But I want to just point out one thing about God, and that he is faithful to us. He is faithful to us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful. There was a preacher that went to visit a farmer, and as the preacher climbed out of his car, he noticed that there was a windmill on the barn that carried an inscription. And as he squinted to read the inscription, he found that it said, God is faithful. God is faithful. Do you mean, asked the preacher, that God's faithfulness depends on which direction the wind is blowing? No, the farmer replied. It means that regardless of which way the wind blows, God is faithful. And God is faithful. Through the good times and the bad times, we can know for certain that he is faithful to us, that he will keep his promises. Let me remind you of a few of those. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He knows how much we can bear. He knows our breaking points, if you will. And so his promise is that with every temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. We must choose to follow that way of escape. But the promise is certain, and God is faithful, that he will provide that way of escape. We find this assurance in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you or strengthen you and guard you or protect you from the evil one. And we know from assurances like this that God is faithful, that Satan may be powerful, and he may wreak havoc in our lives, but the promise is that God is faithful. He will not allow Satan to overtake you. He will not allow Satan to win in your life if you'll choose to remain faithful to the faithful Lord. And even when we, in moments of weakness, succumb to temptation and we fall short, even as his children, we have this assurance. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord deserves our faithfulness because he is faithful to us. In 2 Timothy it says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Hebrews 10, verse 23 underscores the faithfulness of God. But notice the admonition, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What's he saying? Be faithful to the Lord. Don't waver in your commitment to Him. And what's the motivation here? For He who promised is faithful. So the Lord demands our faithfulness, but He also deserves it. And He also defines it. Again, what does it mean to be faithful to the Lord? Well, to be faithful until death means to be unwavering in our devotion to Him. This is expressed in our worship. Only He is worthy of our worship. You remember one of the temptations that Satan presented to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Satan said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. All the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus responded, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Only God is worthy of our worship. Nothing, no one else. In fact, when we ascribe worthship, when we ascribe that worth to something or someone else that belongs only to God, we're guilty of idolatry. An idol is anything or anyone that we may allow to come between us and God. I quoted some lyrics of a song that William Cowper wrote last week. And Troy Baker handed me a slip of paper with these words of William Cowper. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. That commitment to worship God and God alone and to remove idolatry from our lives is one way of remaining faithful to the Lord. It's expressed in our worship. But not only that, it's expressed in our daily Christian living. Every day that we live, we're to be devoted to the Lord. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. And follow me. A second thing that being faithful unto death means to us is to abide in His Word. To abide in His Word. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. What does it mean to abide in the Word of Jesus? William Barclay suggests it means four different things. To abide in the Word of Jesus. It involves, number one, a constant listening to the Word of Jesus. Reading the Scriptures would certainly be included in abiding in the Word of Jesus. What about us? Do we sit regularly at the feet of Jesus as we study from the Word of God? We can't abide in His Word unless we take the time to do that. Now, not only is it just reading or listening to the Word, it involves learning from Jesus. As a disciple, which means literally the learner, it means that we not only read, but we study in order to learn. What is it about Jesus that we need to know? What is it that Jesus is teaching by His words and through His apostles? What is it that we need to learn from the Word? Not only learn, but it involves penetrating into the truth which the words of Jesus bear. The Word of God is truth. And we need not only to read it and to learn from it, but to meditate upon it. To think about how this truth applies to our lives and the many different aspects of our lives. But abiding in the Word would be incomplete unless it involves obeying the Word of Jesus. We don't abide in His Word unless we obey it. So remaining faithful to the Lord means abiding in His Word, being doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, as James says, James 1, verse 22. But then thirdly, being faithful unto death means to be active in His service. It means to be active in His service. After all, Jesus says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And if our Lord did that, shouldn't that be our model? To give our lives in service to Him. When we become Christians, we should have the mindset, I want to use my time, abilities, my energy, my money to in service to God, working to build up His kingdom. That's a commitment to being faithful to the Lord. Listen to these words from Fred Craddock. He was addressing ministers, but he gave this example of serving Christ even in the little things. To give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a stack of $100 bills and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $100 bills for quarters. And we go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. We listen to the neighbor kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost. We go to a committee meeting. We give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. And he concludes this statement saying, it would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. And folks, in that statement, I believe we see faithfulness, living for Christ, little by little, in those seemingly small acts of service over the long haul. Over the long haul. Faithful until death. Luke 16:10, Jesus says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. He wants our faithfulness to be exhibited not only in the big things, the big decisions in our lives, but even in the small details. Be faithful in little. And that's how Jesus gauges our faithfulness. You'll remember Matthew 25. In the parable of the talents, the Lord said to those who used their resources for them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What does it mean to be faithful unto death? It means to use the time, the talents, the treasures with which God has blessed us in humble service to Him. Even in those little acts of kindness and goodness. I want to conclude with the passage with which we began. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is true from Scripture that Jesus' desire of us is that we remain faithful to Him for all of our lives until we die. But I don't believe that's the message here in Revelation 2 and verse 10. I believe the message actually is, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. What's he saying? To those suffering saints, he was saying, to those who were being persecuted by the Romans and the unbelieving Jews, who couldn't even find jobs because no one would hire them, he says, be faithful even if it means you're killed for your faith. And I will give you the crown of life. It wouldn't be long until there was an elder of the church at Smyrna that received this message. A godly man. One who had known the Apostle John personally. When he was urged by the Roman proconsul to renounce Christ, Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? I have respect for your age, said the Roman official. Simply say, away with the atheists and be set free. This Roman official simply said, say of your fellow Christians that they're all atheists because they don't believe in the Roman gods. But this aged Christian pointed to the pagan crowd and said, away with the atheists. He was burned at the stake while giving joyful testimony of his faith in Jesus. And I wonder if the words of Jesus resonated in his mind. Be faithful even if you have to die for me, and I will give you the crown of life. That's faithfulness. That's commitment. That's devotion to the Lord. Folks, we have and have had so many models of this faithfulness before us. And we're going to be rendered without excuse when Jesus comes. Because not only has He demanded faithfulness from us through His Word, not only has He shown us how the Lord deserves it, but He's defined it for us. We've even had it illustrated for us. The lives of some godly people among us. When the Son of Man comes again, He's going to be looking for faith. He's going to be looking for faithfulness. Will He find it in our lives? Have you been faithful to the Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you become His child? If not, we hope and pray that you'll do so even this morning. Be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can begin that walk with Him. But those of us who have done that, have we been faithful? Have we been faithful? If there's some changes we need to make, if we need the prayers of the church, won't you let that be known? And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?